Well, tonight we're talking about conquering fear. Fear works in a lot of different ways. And I want to talk to you, really what we're going to get to is our trust relationship with God concerning His protection for us. There's some stuff that folks are afraid of, and I'll tell you how I know that, because I've been hearing what people say. And it'll take long to hear what somebody believes if you just listen. And so I want to talk to you tonight about that, conquering fear, looking today at Isaiah 43, verse 1, from the New Living Translation. It says, "But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says," here's what the Lord says, "do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." How many here tonight know that you belong to the Lord? Amen. Now, why do you belong to the Lord? Could it possibly be because He purchased you at Calvary with His own blood? Amen. So Isaiah 43 here speaks of the children of Israel who were ransomed from Egypt's bondage or Egypt's captivity, Egypt being a type of the world system. And Israel was freed from Pharaoh's rulership, who was a type of Satan or the god of this world. In like fashion, we were ransomed from our Egypt, from our world system, and its master, who actually was Satan. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it says in whom that he blinds the minds of those who believe not. That's what the god of this world tries to do, is blind minds from getting the message of God. But we are determined, church, that our minds will not be blinded. Our minds will hear truth, and we will be renewed and continually set free in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body," or I imagine somewhere it would say, "with your body and your spirit, which are God's." So you are God's property. Now I want you to think about that, and especially in men, and probably this attitude or personality exists in some women, and that is that I am my own boss. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. And we never consider that we have a master that we serve whose name is Jesus. Now, why is that important? Well, the reason that's important is because at some point in time after we got born again, we made another step in salvation, and that was we made Jesus the Lord of our lives. We call that total commitment, total surrender, making Him Lord. But the reality is this, the ransom for your life. Now think about this, before you were born again, the ransom for your life paid 2,000 years ago. I can imagine when heaven received this ransom notice. Y'all seen the movie Ransom? Okay? It kind of gives you an idea about this. It did not cost dollars and cents, as in money, but what it cost was every single drop of the precious blood of Jesus to set you free. It's not that you're not set free now. You were set free 2,000 years ago. We're just coming into an awareness of, hey, Jesus really did something for us. And time and space and all that comes together. And here we are. Praise God. Now, I understand this about being the property of God. You don't have to, even though Jesus purchased you, you don't have to participate in being the property of God. You can rebel, you can do anything you want to. But here's what advice I want to give you. If you want to win in life, in every area, then the truth is being positioned with God is the best thing going. Being positioned or hooked up with God is the best choice available. So we belong to God. He said, "Do not fear. I have ransomed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine." I don't know about you, but I find a lot of security in that verse right there. One of the reasons why fear is so dominant in people is because of insecurity. I'm just insecure. I'm just afraid. I'm just worried. And, well, we'll get into that. Let's go to Psalm 91, verse 5 and 6. I want you to watch this with me. "You shall not be afraid." Aren't you glad that that verse doesn't say, "You shall not be happy"? Or how about this? "You shall not be set free." No, it says, you shall not be afraid. Because fearful people are not that happy, and fearful people are really not free. But he says, you shall not be afraid. Here's what you're not to be afraid of. First of all, he says, of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Now, this could read this way, and I added it to your note sheet once again. It could say, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. You shall not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. You shall not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So these verses speak of God's divine protection. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe in God's divine protection? I believe in it so much that I'm a little bit gutsy. Here's what I mean by that. I don't really run to the storm shelter when they say there's a tornado in the area. I like to go out and watch at it and talk at it and say, in the name of Jesus, and I curse you and all that stuff. I remember Sunday, you all see that storm came up Sunday? We were at a restaurant, and I was out in the airlock and at the front door just cursing that thing and talking to it. And understanding protection and really believing what it says has really made me a little gutsy. And you might say, well, that's just not wisdom. Well, let's find out. So let's just continue. All right. So what does it take to really conquer fear? Well, before we get to the next scripture, let me give you some things. I believe that it takes having an understanding of God's Word and then putting God's Word into practice. How many of you know that there's a lot of things we fear? Some folks don't want to go around sick folks because they're afraid they're going to get germs. No, they're not excited about there's a germ lurking around. No, they're afraid they're going to get germs. And then sick folks don't want to be around anybody else because I'm just afraid you're going to get my germs. Well, then don't do hospital ministry. Don't go visit anybody in the hospital or go into any isolation unit or any ICU unit because there is some of that stuff lurking around. There's dirty stuff. The doctor's been working on folks with changing bedclothes and all this stuff. And there is probably some germs. But this is what I believe about it. No germ can get onto my body because if it touches me, the anointing will kill it. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's your problem. Okay? All right, so let's go on. The more you understand God's Word on divine protection, the more you will be able to trust God with your emotions. How many know that's important? And not let fear take a hold of you. What this message really is about concerning fear and about protection, and it's really about a trust relationship with God. You know, one of the things we need to learn to do is trust God to be God. Trust God to do, we just made a declaration, folks. Trust God to do exactly what His Word says that He will do. And believe it and receive it by faith and call it done. That's amen. So be it. It's done. So we need to trust God to be God. And if God says a certain thing, then we need to trust that that's exactly what God meant and exactly what God's going to do in our lives. Let's talk about fear for a moment. What is fear? Fear is a feeling of distress. And you ever felt distressed? Woo! In the right house tonight. Apprehension. Now, this word apprehension just simply means as in an uneasiness, anxiety, worry. Yes, apprehension's all kind of rolled into that. Anybody been worried lately? Had anxiety, kind of felt kind of stressed, and I'm not sure what to do or which way to turn. Or alarmed, caused by an impending danger. That's also a definition of worry. What is an alarm caused by an impending danger? Well, here's what it is. It is the distant possibility of danger or pain. In other words, it hadn't happened yet, but I'm already anticipating that's going to happen. How about this? I have this little ache, and I'm going to the doctor, and I've already decided when I get to the doctor, they're going to tell me it's really something bad. Now, probably you just bent over wrong and it just pulled something. No big deal. You know, give it a day or two or put some anointing to it, whatever. But we already decide that it's going to be something bad. I mean, the doctor will probably tell me I got cancer. The doctor will probably tell me I'm going to have to go in the hospital and get an operation. And he didn't even say that. What caused that feeling or that thought to be in your head? Well, we know ultimately it's Satan, but it was fear. And so we get afraid, and when we get afraid, we start talking ourselves into all kinds of junk. And it's related to concern, anxiety, or the possibility or chance of something bad or something wrong will happen to you. And we could preach on words tonight. Always talking about the bad that's going to happen. All right? So fear prompts you to feel anxiety about something before it happens. Fear comes up. I saw this movie once about, well, you all seen the movie Tornado. We call it Bill and Joe because, you know, even though we're Bill and Faye to you, or pastors to you, whatever, it really, my wife's middle name and nickname from that is Joe, so Bill and Joe, so that's kind of our movie. Well, it's about tornadoes, and, you know, it's like, how can it miss this house and then hit that house, and it, you know, well, the truth is, we already guess, I mean, if it's going to get one house, it's going to get mine. If it's going to hit any town around here, it'll probably be our town. Why does that come? Because fear grips not your heart, but your emotions, and you begin to project or believe something that hasn't even happened yet. What would happen if, when fear started to come, you begin to believe the Word of God that there's no way? I mean, do you know how many times, and you, as well as myself, we have stood outside and said in the name of Jesus. I remember a time when this guy went right out in the middle of the street and said, in the name of Jesus, you will not land down here and you will dissipate and so on and so forth. I'm telling you, this Word works. But because of fear, we choose to cave in to something that God speaks the opposite concerning. Fear is not just human emotion. And what I just read you about fear as a definition relates to human emotion, but also fear can be demonically inspired. How many know that's true? Because the enemy will lie to your mind and talk you into being afraid. Fear is an act of dealing with things that we do not understand or have the emotional or physical control over. There are some things you can't fix. And there's nothing wrong with that. You say, well, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you find yourself still not being able to take care of some things. Isn't it just important that we just say, okay, God, I couldn't get this one fixed, but man, are you big. I'm trusting you to take care of this. All right. I believe, and there's a couple of I believes in here, and I believes means I believe. Okay, it doesn't mean that you necessarily believe, but I believe that fear is the number one reason why Christians do not put their trust in God. We're going to talk about why. So let me just ask you this as we're getting there. What are you afraid of? I mean, people deal with a lot of different things. You know, if it's spiders or bugs, you know, that's not Gracie. She loves bugs. Spiders, throwing things up, stick to the ceiling. And I went in her room one time and all these rubber bugs just stuck to the ceiling, just flinging things up there. Well, there's a kid that's not afraid of bugs. What types of things cause you fear? What are some of the things that prompt you to fear, prompts fear in you more than maybe other things do? Maybe there's some stuff that's really not important, doesn't really bother you, but then there's these things that just like really get to you. Well, the number one element in conquering fear is to understand how God feels about you, what God thinks about you. You say, well, I don't know what God thinks about me. I really wish I knew. Well, I can tell you hadn't picked your Bible up in a while. Because this book is not just about a bunch of people that you don't know and you've never met. And one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down on the banks of the Jordan and I'm going to get to meet Paul and Peter and we're going to talk. Let me tell you something. This book is about you. This is some stuff that God said about you. We started off with, God said, don't be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You ever been a person who says in your family lineage, we take care of our own? You mess with our family, we take care of our own. Do you understand that God takes care of His own? And he said, you are his. You are mine. All right. Joseph Prince made this statement, and it's not the first time you've heard it, but he said, until you understand how much God loved Jesus, you will never understand how much he loves you. So if that's true, and we're just going to assume tonight that it is, then the thing I would do is get into the book and find out how much the Father loved his Son. Now, yes, he loved you so much that he sent his only Son, but he loved his Son. Well, God loves you. So if you really felt secure in how God feels about you, can I just be bold and say this? You wouldn't fear. If you really knew how God felt about you, and you didn't allow insecurity to grab hold of you, to grip your heart, then you would not fear. And I'm talking about not be afraid of anything. All right, let's go on. So I believe it's important to trust, to believe, to know about God's love. If you find out what God believes about you, and you walk according to what God believes about you, then you can conquer fear. And I'm praying and believing that this word tonight will inspire you to do so. David said these words, we've already read them in Psalm 91. He said, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. You shall not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. You shall not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I recently read a story, and let me just say it this way. I reread a story that I'd heard years ago. And it was about this woman in London, England, during World War II, when the German planes were dropping bombs on houses and blowing them up, and I mean flat, just leveling them flat. And this woman, just this one woman, stayed in her house through the entire bombing of London during that war. And here's why. She stood in the middle of the rubble and was just right there through the whole thing. Here's how the story goes. She had read Psalm 121, verse 4, which says, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so she said to the Lord, since you don't sleep, there's no point in both of us being awake. So I'm going to sleep while you keep watch. How many things keep you up at night because you're fearful, worried? I remember Faye's a pretty light sleeper. I'm a very heavy sleeper. I remember one time that we lived in a town and a police high-speed chase. And this is in the town, so I'm sure the speed limit was like 25. But there was this high-speed chase, police sirens just a-wailing, and I knew nothing about it. I mean, storms, thunder, lightning, and I don't know anything about it because I'm sleeping. Well, that has nothing to do with anything spiritual, who's a heavy sleeper or a light sleeper. But my point is this. She slept while God protected her in the middle of buildings being flattened in this war. One of the difficulties people have with fear is a lack of trust in anything or anyone other than self. I trust me. I'll take care of the situation. I'll protect my house. Matter of fact, many of us probably own guns. Because if some intruder comes, we're going to take care of it. As a matter of fact, you never know when somebody's going to try to break in, come in and mess you up during the night, steal your stuff. Well, that's just kind of human thinking. Well, I'm glad we're thinking that way. We're on the same page, so let me talk about that. Thank you for bringing that up. We need to get past the issue of being able to let go and trust God to protect us in every single area. And I'm going to mention some very drastic areas tonight. You see, it's built within the human psyche to take on the responsibility to protect what is ours, including our families and ourselves. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not putting that down. You know, this is America and all that stuff. But when we do that, we take on that responsibility. And watch this. When we do that, we take authority away from God to protect us supernaturally. You say, can you prove that? Well, I don't have it in my notes. But remember when Adam had been given the authority in the garden, actually Adam ran the whole show. God lined the animals up and Adam named them. Adam was in charge. He had the authority, the lease on the earth. And you know what he did? He released his authority to Satan. which also proves, and that was before the law, also proves that you can release what authority God gave you. You can release it to Satan. So if God says you can trust him, but you're saying, look, God, just step back. I'll take care of this. It's my responsibility. You know what? My responsibility don't mean nothing. Now, I know I have responsibility, but my responsibility is only as good as my ability to trust God to back me up, to take care of it. As a matter of fact, I'd rather just back him up, let him do his thing, and I just stay in the shadow. I'd just soon do that. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you all know when that was, did you also know that you can trust him to be Lord? Jesus, not only do I want you to be my Savior, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. And then we go on doing our own thing and taking our own problems and trying to fix them. But did you know you can also trust him to be what you just allowed him to be? You can trust him to be Lord. Well, this word Lord means supreme in authority. It means you are God, you are Lord, you are master. David said this in Psalm 91, verse 5. He said, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. The Hebrew here refers to being afraid of the adversity that you can't see because of the night, because of darkness, or because of evil that lurks around. So we know there are things we see better in the day, unless you've got military night goggles, night vision. There are things we see better in the day. Why? Because it's lighter. Sunshine, electricity, hallelujah. But in the night, sometimes we stumble around because we don't see as well because it's dark. Or the same thing can happen when it comes to even evil that lurks around in dark areas. Could it possibly be this? Could it possibly refer to evil such as, I want you to hear me tonight because I'm extremely serious about this. We're afraid of all kinds of stuff. Could it possibly be what he's talking about is things like rape, kidnap, murder, other vicious crimes? I'm just so afraid of being alone. I'm just so afraid that someone's going to break in and they're going to really hurt me, do me wrong. I'm telling you tonight, I came to tell you, you don't have to be afraid. You can trust God to be God in your life. God says you do not have to be afraid of the terror that's out there in the night. Yet Christians live in fear. All right, let's go on. Then he says, nor the arrows that fly by day. Here the Hebrew refers to flying things in the atmosphere like demons that fly around with their lies, which can pierce you and harm you even when your eyes are wide open. Isn't it amazing how you're just praising the Lord and you're glorifying God and you're just quoting the word and you're just testifying to someone and something floating around in the world of the spirit, some lie pops in, and when you buy it, it does damage to you. And you're asking questions like, how could this have happened? I go to church. I worship God. How did this happen? Well, hang with me. Could this possibly be referring to things in the natural realm like bullets from some senseless church sniper, a drive-by shooting, some sort of flying weapons that we're not aware of? Why did I mention senseless church snipers? Here's why. In recent years, America has had some situations where some gunman walked into a church fellowship banquet and opened up and started shooting. Walked into a church service or some event. We've had several occasions of that. And some folks have become fearful because of that testimony, because of that report. As a matter of fact, a man said to me, I'd like to come and check out your church. Not that it's my church, but that's what he said. And he said, but know this. I know the law says I can't bring a gun into your church without your permission. So I'm asking you to give me your permission just in case somebody comes in. And they got a gun, I'm going to protect my family. Well, I'm so glad that we all don't carry guns to church. Because some folks aren't comfortable being around guns. Some parents don't want their children exposed to guns that other people are carrying that they don't really know if they're right in their head because they're carrying a gun in the first place. Not that I'm against guns. I own one. We don't have to be afraid that somebody's going to pop in and start shooting. Why? We have authority over the works of the enemy. Jesus destroyed the works of the enemy, and we have that authority. Well, obviously I said no, and they never came for a visit. If I can't come to church with my gun, I ain't coming. Well, stay home. Go somewhere else. I hope y'all don't think that that's mean, but even if you do, that's just the way she is. Even if you are filled with the Word of God, you are not exempt from the enemy whispering a lie to your mind. But what you do with it is extremely important, okay? But you're not exempt. It can happen. There can be some things or attacks, and we don't really like to use that word, from the lies of demon spirits that you just don't catch. Well, what if the enemy is doing something that you just aren't aware of? Do you trust God to protect you, even from the things you're not aware of? I mean, after all, it wasn't like one day you jumped into a phone booth, and all of a sudden the phone booth exploded and out popped Super Christian. I know all, I see all, I can do all. No, that ain't the case. Well, since you're not Super Christian, how about trusting God with the stuff that you don't catch? Do you think in a church we catch everything that's going on all the time? We're just 100% on top of our game? No, but God is. God's always on His game. Man, He's always 100% of the time doing His thing. Sometimes we're not cooperating as much, but He's always doing His thing. So how can we deal with all of that? Well, it's really simple. By trusting God with His whole issue of protection. Well, I got some more to share with you, so hang tight. These two verses we've been talking about in Psalm 91 starts out with just five words which say, "You shall not be afraid." I like to translate that into modern vernacular and say, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. Well, if you don't have to fear and you choose to fear, then you have to agree with me that fear is a choice. I choose to fear. Don't tell me I can't be afraid, preacher. I want to fear. Well, go ahead. There's nobody going to stop you. Ain't going to stop you. Not even God's going to stop you. But there is a better way. You can choose not to fear. All right, now. Thank you, Father. He says in verse 6, "Nor the pestilence," which pestilence talks about plagues, "that walk in darkness," and darkness obviously refers to evil, "nor of the destruction," which speaks of disastrous situations that can ruin or bring ruin to your life, "that lays waste at noonday." Could this be talking about the pestilence that walk in darkness refer to viruses and diseases, bugs out there? And when I mean bugs, I mean germs. And we're spirit-filled, can I just say it old-fashioned, like Holy Ghost-filled Christians, tongue-talking believers, and we just got all this power. I ain't going to go pray for them. They got germs. Do you know that thing they got? If I lay hands on them, that thing come on me, and I bring that back to my kids. Oh, come on. Well, you know, Pastor, there's just wisdom in some of that stuff. But if we go by the wisdom of don't touch anybody, we never pray for anybody. I remember, not meaning to get off on this, but I remember when going through those years of difficulty I went through physically, I once had what was called ulcerated tumors all over my legs, and they, by the time I was done with the church service, my socks were just wet. They just oozed all the time. And I was a chaplain at the hospital, so that meant I went into isolation units. I never was afraid. I believe in this word. I never picked up anything, never got anything. I believe this word. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, even in a drastic situation, I didn't get anything because I believe what this word says. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of viruses. When they come on the news and they announce the next greatest virus or bug that's going around, it's watch out because it's spreading like wildfire. And the next thing you know is you're calling someone and saying, did you know it's spreading like wildfire? Well, everybody's getting it. You know, with the first word that comes, just like the first thought we're going to hear about next week, did you know you can say no? The enemy will say, what'd you say? I said no. I told you what prompted the devotion I wrote on the swine flu counterargument is I was walking by the television one day and I heard them announcing the swine flu. The swine flu epidemic is hitting, it's getting on everybody. And instantly Psalm 91 rose up in me and said, no evil shall befall your dwelling. I said, yes, sir. And I wrote that article. And I've got more reactions out of that article, positive reactions, than any other article I've ever written. Swine flu counterargument. What's the counterargument? The Word of God. Counteract the enemy's garbage every time. He says, and God wants us to know this, that we do not have to be fearful of the destruction that lays waste at noonday, such as a tornado. Now, it depends on what part of the country you live in or what part of the world you live in. In our part of the country, it's tornado or maybe a flood hitting your home. Or how about this, just as wild as this, a bomb going off at the mall you happen to be shopping in? You know why the bomb can't go off in the mall you happen to be shopping in? Because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're filled with the anointing of God. And you don't have to be a bomb disposal expert to know that the power of God can defuse that bomb. You say, well, you're really talking crazy, preacher. Well, if I'm talking crazy, it's only because I believe what I'm saying. So you don't need to be afraid, because God, who neither slumbers or sleeps, is watching over you 24 hours a day. How many is thankful for that? Amen. Now, we just saw these two verses cover everything in the night, everything in the day, and everything at the noontime. Just in those two verses, everything's covered. So let me ask you this. What do you have to be afraid of? Not a thing. Not a thing. And some sick neighbor runs to your house and they're beating on the door. Let me in. I didn't drink. Oh, don't breathe on me. Well, it's obvious I don't want to breathe on us. But at the same time, how about just grabbing that neighbor and saying, in the name of Jesus, I command that junk to fall off of you. Healing be in Jesus' name. It might scare your neighbor into a fit, but I'll tell you what, they'll be in a fit healed. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Well, all this word I'm talking to you about tonight will work for you. All you got to do is believe what it says and say what you believe without trying to figure out why it works. The why it works, that's God's part. And that's our problem with fear, is I just got to get it figured out. No, you don't have to get it figured out. Just let God be God in your life. All right, in closing, look with me at Luke 10:19. We've used this scripture many times. Luke 10:19. Behold, Jesus is speaking here. I give you, or have given you, authority. Everybody say authority. Authority. And here's what he says about that authority. We've got that authority to trample on. How many know what trample means? That means, because why? It could, because I'm telling you that people, Christians, still believe that I'm just going to get toe to toe with the devil and we're going to have it out today. Well, if you are, it's only because you lowered yourself to his level, because he doesn't have the authority to come higher than the soles of your feet. Do you know the parallel, the opposite of that is when the scripture said in Isaiah 55 that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And Christians are, I hear this bellyache and whining among pastors saying, we can never know God's thoughts and we can never know God's ways. That's really dumb. Just come up to God's way of thinking and God's way of doing stuff. Well, in the same token, you can go down to the devil's way of doing stuff and you don't have to do that. I don't want to be no sole of the shoe Christian. He's under our feet. So we have authority to trample on or to walk on serpents and scorpions, which represent demon spirits. And then he says, and over all the power, whatever power the enemy has, we're over that. And he said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, if there's a promise of protection, there's one right there. Nothing will hurt you. Nothing. Whether it's germs, viruses, diseases, whether it's tornadoes, whether it's floods, whether it's drive-by gangs, whatever. I mean, nothing will hurt you. How do you think people like David Wilkerson, who wrote Crossing the Switchblade, how do you think he went into those gang-infested places, cities, and preached the gospel to them? And Nikki Cruz, who is now a born-again preacher of the gospel, said, I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to cut you up in little pieces. And David Wilkerson said, if you cut me up, every piece will come back screaming the blood of Jesus to you. He got his heart right. He got saved. He got right with God. Why? David Wilkerson wasn't afraid. His trust was in God. Can fear be demonic? Certainly. But we have authority over fear. A couple of quick scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 27 from the New Century Version. I like this. It says, do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Well, I thought Jesus did that. The Bible said, you do not give the devil a way to defeat you. If you operate in fear, you gave the devil a way to defeat you. If you operate in worry, you gave the devil a way to defeat you. If you're stressed out, maxed out all the time, you gave the devil a way to defeat you. So you can choose not to do that by trusting God. Look at the Amplified Version. It says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. I like that. Satan has no authority, no foothold, no right to tamper with God's property. And we're God's property because we were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Mark 11:23 real quick. A few more verses and then we're going to make a confession. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, okay, we're talking to mountains. What are mountains? Mountains are like the problems we face, the junk that's going on. Now remember, we got this revelation a couple of years ago that every mountain didn't start out a mountain, it started out a molehill. We just didn't speak to the molehills because we didn't think it was significant enough. I don't use my faith on that little thing. Had you spoke to the molehill, it would have never became a mountain in your life. Oh my goodness. And he said, be removed and be cast into the sea. So you got to tell it what to do. And then he said, and does not doubt in his heart, which is also translated mind, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So here's what I have to say about that. Just a few quick points. Speak to fear like any other lie from the enemy. You know how you treat that lie of lack? You speak to that. You know how you treat that lie of sickness, this next bug coming? You speak to that and you command it to go in the name of Jesus. Well, you can do fear the same way. You speak to the problem of the area that you need change. You tell it what to do. What do we tell it to do? Be removed. Get out of here. Be cast out. And he said, not to doubt. Why? Doubt produces negative results. Doubt produces insecurity, and it produces worry, and then it produces fear. Believe that the things you just spoke. Why do we believe the things we speak will produce? Because we're speaking in line with God's word. If you're out there on your own, then you're just going to be out there on your own. But if you're speaking God's word, then you can believe that what just came out of your mouth will produce because God's backing up his word. Well, let me prove that to you because I'm getting ahead of myself. But look at Jeremiah 1:12 and then we'll come back up to Psalm 1:12. Jeremiah 1:12 from the NIV says, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see my word, that my word is fulfilled. So you don't have to make sure God's word works. God's watching over his word. God is making sure that his word comes to pass if you'll just dare to believe what it says and act on it. All right, jump back up to Psalm 112, verse 7. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is established, steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Now look at this verse again. Why will we not be afraid? Why do we not have to fear when a bad report comes? Because our heart is steadfast. Why is it steadfast? Because we are trusting in the Lord. We don't have to fear every time an announcement comes on, something bad comes on the internet, the television, the newspaper, from someone's mouth. This last week, someone came up with a thing on Facebook, said there's this virus and here's its name. It's going all over Facebook. It's spreading like wildfire. And I felt like, well, I'm getting ready to preach this message, so I ought to just, I just didn't do it, but I should have just said, you know what the Bible says? Not even a virus on my Facebook's going to get to me. Are y'all thinking I'm crazy again? But instead of get fearful, you can trust God to do exactly what His Word says. You can believe it and receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. With Psalm 91, I just want to read it to you again, and then we'll make a confession. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, the stuff that's out there. You shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. You'll not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. And we talked about all those areas. You shall not be afraid of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So all around the clock, whatever the enemy's planning, I'm telling you, the protection of God works. You say, but Pastor, what if I just don't know what's going on? He does. Are you trusting Him to protect even the things you don't know about? Because let me just, I don't want to bust anybody's balloon or anything, but we are not even combined the sum total of all wisdom and knowledge. There's some things we don't know. Well, God, you know what? I can certainly trust You. If I can trust You with the stuff I do know, I certainly can trust You with the stuff that I don't catch. Amen. This is how we conquer fear. We build a trust relationship with Jesus based on the truth in His Word. Praise God. Make this confession with me. Say, I choose not to be afraid of the things I see and the things I don't see. And if a bad report comes, I will not fear the terrors by night. I will not fear the danger by day. I will not fear a plague that stalks in darkness. I will not fear any disaster that strikes at midday, because I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I speak by faith. And I trust God by faith. And Jesus always causes me to triumph over fear. And I declare this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Get anything out of this today? Praise God. Glory to God. Isn't it great to know you don't have to fear? Because who's on the job? God's on the job. I remember a couple of months ago, I preached a message on the Holy Spirit, how that He's our helper. This has been coming back to me real strong, and I'm going to let you go. Where it said, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. There's a couple of different scriptures that have a slight variation of this translation or this meaning. But basically, it means when you allow the Holy Spirit to help you and you begin to pray in the Spirit, that you are hooking up together against. So you are hooking up with the Holy Spirit against whatever it is that's hassling you. So if fear's bothering you tonight, and I know that's true in some folks because this would have not been the right message, you can hook up with the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you what I've been doing. I've just been having to stop what I'm doing and just begin to pray in the Spirit. And it's almost like, how many of you ever drink energy drinks? Okay, what do? They give you a boost, right? Okay, one of the things we do in martial arts is just before we go to class, because they're going to work us, is drink an energy drink because you got some energy. The later you come down. Well, I have found out that praying in the Spirit is like drinking an energy drink, except it's nothing like this world has ever known. And so you can literally, if you can take a few seconds, a few moments break in your day, even if it's several breaks in your day, and just pray in the Spirit for a moment or two, I'm telling you, it's as though you get a second wind, and He helps you against the thing you're battling. Praise God.